Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. So it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22 of Exodus chapter 1. Father, we thank you for your word, which guides and counsels us, molds and shapes us, and thank you for how that your word helps us to better understand you and your heart and your will. Father, as we look at a story like this powerful account here in this story, we see that there were those persons who had a wicked heart, who wanted to kill your precious children. But Father, we thank you for people like Shipra and Puah, who were women who feared you above men, above government, above the institutions of man, who wanted to honor and please and glorify you above all else. Father, thank you for your church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Father, more and more, raise us up to be a church that loves you, loves your word and your will, a church that fears you, and a church that's courageous enough to, like Shipra and Puah, stand up for what we know to be right, in spite of the odds, in spite of the difficulty, in spite of what might seem like an extremely scary and intimidating situation. Help us to know, Lord, that you will always use bold, courageous witnesses who will stand for your truth. Help us to be people who do just that, stand for your truth no matter what we're dealing with, knowing that you'll always use bold witnesses for the building of your kingdom and for your glory. Stir us to be that kind of church more and more. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to pray with us as well.
Father, we're thankful for this broadcast today. We pray, Father, that you will use it in a mighty way, that you will touch hearts, you will stir hearts, that the listeners will, as they hear the story, that they will listen past the story to you and what you have to say to them. Give them courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to continue to remind you that if you have not already gotten your children or grandchildren involved in the Ten Commandments Project, we're still encouraging you to do just that. Keep in mind, again, specifically the Ten Commandments Speech Project ends on July 31st, so you have about another between 4 and 5 weeks to get involved. Remember, very basically, if the children will memorize the Ten Commandments and recite them word for word to you, all you have to do is call us up, give us their size and your mailing address, and we'll drop the Ten Commandments t-shirt in the mail to you for your son or daughter. On the other hand, if they want to get involved in the speech contest, that's been an exciting thing so far. We've gotten some great speeches by young people, speeches that obviously will inspire other young people, but speeches that, to be quite honest, will very much inspire adults as they hear them as well. And of course, if you continue, as you have been listening to the broadcast, you've heard a number of the speeches already. We'd like to get a lot more young people involved. And remember, this is not just a nice little Sunday school project. Children today are dying because they're too often, sadly, killing each other, committing suicide, being victims of bullying, so many other issues that young people are challenged by. And the fact is, Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, is the answer to all of our problems and our challenges in our world today. So we hope that you'll take this youth discipleship project seriously. Get involved with learning more about the Ten Commandments Project. Simply email me for more information at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. or you can go to the AFA stand at afa.net and find it in the article entitled The Ten Commandments Project as well. Hope you'll get involved. We're blessed and honored to have once again as our phone guest today, Claire Culver. She's the author of the book Survivor, and she shared on last broadcast, she shared the powerful account of her journey through coming to know her birth mother and begin to build a relationship with her. But also she has a wealth of insight and understanding about the life issue as well. Claire, good to have you back on the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Great to have you once again. And if you would, there may be lots of listeners who didn't catch yesterday's broadcast. And if you didn't catch it, please go back and listen to the podcast because, again, Claire's story is such a powerful story, a unique story, but a powerful story of the grace and redemption of God at work in her and her family's life as well. But, Claire, would you take time to summarize your story before we kind of go further into looking at the message of the book Survivor and Abortion Survivor's Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption?
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity. I hope that those of you who are listening today can relate to different parts of my story, but more than that, be encouraged by what God has done in my life and how he has turned something evil and harmful and hurtful into something that is pointing people to Jesus and towards his forgiveness and grace and redemption. That's the biggest message that I hope people hear today through my story. I am adopted. My sister is adopted as well, and we both had the opportunity to meet our birth mothers. I met my birth mother about 12 years ago, and my sister's reunion with her birth mother had been that mine will be just like that. It was just kind of picture perfect. Her birth mother had been 30 years old, had made the courageous and loving and selfless choice to place my sister for adoption. And my life wouldn't be the same without my sister. And I was so grateful for her birth mother. And so I met my birth mother after I was motivated by meeting my sister's birth mother to be able to thank my birth mother for giving me my life and my family. And my birth mother actually shared with me during our second meeting that she hadn't chosen life for me, that I wasn't a wanted child. I found out that my birth mother had been 13 years old, and when she was pregnant with me at 13 years old, she went to an abortion clinic, and they told her that her abortion had been successful, that she could go back to life as normal, but she returned to that abortion clinic to find out that she had actually been pregnant with twins and that my twin had successfully been aborted, but that I had survived her abortion. And it was the most shocking moment of my life. And my birth mother told me that she fully expected me to run out of the room that day and not forgive her and be angry and upset because I was unwanted, rejected, and even aborted. And she had taken the person that would have been closest to me all my life, my twin, away from me. And when the abortion hadn't worked, she actually went to Kansas to try to have a second abortion. That didn't work. And so, in her own words, so when it didn't work, then she just gave me away. And so she fully expected me to run out of the room that day. But because of the family that I was raised in, I knew about love and grace and forgiveness. And I knew about what Jesus had done for me on the cross if I believed and trusted in him as my Lord and Savior, that he died and he took my place. And he did that for my birth mother, too. And I wanted her to know him, and I wanted her to believe and trust in him so that she, too, could be forgiven. And so I chose that day to do what to me was an easy thing because of the forgiveness I've had through Christ, but also because of the pain I saw in her eyes. I chose to forgive my birth mother. And since then, I've shared my story across the country, and I enjoy sharing my story to put a face and a name and a story humanity with that unborn child, but also to give a real tangible look at what abortion does to a woman like my birth mother, and also how believers can respond to women who find themselves in unplanned pregnancies, women like my birth mother who deeply regret their abortion, and how the church, how believers can respond. And so it's a great honor to be able to be back on the broadcast and share a little bit more about what God has been teaching me over these past 12 years.
Hmm. Well, you know, Claire, there's so much, there's so many different sides to your story. What would you say, for example, as you share your story on yesterday and today's broadcast as well, as you shared it, what would you say have been some of the biggest ongoing challenges you faced as you, of course, you've shared a beautiful and a powerful story, but at the same time, in your humanness and as a believer who's on a faith journey, what would you say have been some of the biggest challenges you faced as you do what you do?
Well, yeah, there are a lot of challenges. As you know, we are living in a culture that doesn't want someone like me to exist. You know, my humanity defeats the narrative that the unborn child is not a human being created in the image of God, deserving of protection. And I didn't wake up one day and go, oh, I want to be an abortion survivor. You know, this is something that happened to me. It's the most vulnerable moment and story in my life when I sat face to face with my birth mother and learned the reality of what abortion had done to me and to her and to my twin and to our family. And it's a painful reality. Even though I can share it in a hopeful way, and because of what I know God can do and what He has done, His track record is that He is good, and He will bring good from things that feel so messy and so scary and so confusing. And so I choose to look at these things, my entire story, in light of that. But it doesn't take away the fact that when I was 21 years old, I sat face to face with my birth mother, broke for her. And so when people in our country today, you know, and deny my humanity and don't want to hear my story and brush me off as someone that's crazy, that is something that is challenging for me every single day, because they are rejecting the pieces of my story that have hurt me deeply. Mm-hmm. But it is an opportunity. I will say that when I have these experiences...
Claire, I'm going to jump in here, and we're coming up on a break, and we can pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Claire Colwell. She's the author of the book Survivor, An Abortion Survivor's Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption. We'll be back.
And set us free. Holy Spirit.
The music of Cece Winans, Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest once again is Claire Colwell. She's the author of the book Survivor, an abortion survivor's surprising story of choosing forgiveness and finding redemption. And Claire, as we move into this next segment, you know, I think of this, that very often when people have been through some traumatic life's journey similar to yours, often, well, sadly, too often people sort of feel like they have right to be angry, upset, wounded, and feel like the world owes them. But on the other hand, by the grace of God, you're using your story and your platform to share the story behind your book and to help stand for life and against abortion. What made you decide specifically to write the book?
Well, when I met my birth mother, I saw God's fingerprints all over this story. I mean, I was able to identify things that I had never thought about before. I grew up in the church. This wasn't something that was ever spoken about from the pulpit. I never heard about God's grace and forgiveness and mercy for a woman who experiences an unplanned pregnancy, for a woman who regrets her abortion, for a father who regrets paying for driving a woman to have an abortion, for parents who took their daughter to have an abortion. And I thought, you know, I will never be the type of person who's been affected by abortion. How could I? I was raised in the church. I was raised in a loving Christian home founded on God's word and his truth. And they raised us unique way according to how they believed God had called them to. And so I thought, that will never be our story. But here we were, meeting my birth mother, finding out that I was the type of person who had been affected by abortion. And so I began speaking. I actually took stage for the first time in December. I found out about my birth mother's abortion in May of 2009, and I shared my story for the first time in December of that same year. So that's how quickly it kind of all transpired. And here I am. I'm an introvert. I don't like controversial things. I like to stay in my comfort zone, in my bubble, as so many of us do. And here I am. God is calling me to share my story that is controversial, that is offensive to many people, but that is full of truth. And I have the opportunity to do it in a way that shared a message of love and grace and forgiveness and point people to Christ. And so I decided to be obedient. I tried it one time. I spoke to a group of middle schoolers and high schoolers at a youth group retreat in the town where I was going to college. And I watched as just these light bulbs went off in their head. I watched as they were able to make sense of human life and how God created every single one of us in his image with purpose. And that as believers, we can fight for that. We can stand for truth without fear because Christ gives us strength. He gives us, he shows us what is right, what is true. And, you know, protecting the very life that he created in his image, children of God, is something that is good, that every single believer can be doing, praying about, thinking about, educating themselves about. And I thought, okay, if my face and my name and my story and my humanity and the way that I share this story brings hope, brings light, brings truth to these middle school and high schoolers, what can it do for other people? What can it do for our culture, for believers, for the church, for churches like mine where I grew up, where I never heard about these things where women were silently suffering in the pews of our churches because there was silence. And so I began to share my story. And so I've shared my story 20 to 30 times a year for the past 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'd love to be able to give people just put it in their hands. Like, not everybody can come hear me speak, but everybody should be able to read this story of what God has done. And I want to shout it from the rooftops. I want to tell everybody that can, that has ears to listen, everybody that has eyes, everybody in the entire world, I want to tell them about good. Oh, he has brought me through something so incredibly painful to bring truth and to bring light to so many people. And so I decided to write it in a book, because that is just another tangible way for people to read a story that God wrote purposefully. People ask me all the time, you know, do you think about your twin? Do you have that survivor's guilt? You know, and I tell them I definitely have questions. I have questions for God one day, maybe. I have things that I wonder about, you know, would my twin have looked like me? Why me? Why not my twin? Whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I trust the God who wrote my story perfectly. Mm-hmm. And that is what I hope that people can grasp from my book is mm-hmm. that God writes every single one of our stories. There's no accidents. There's nothing he doesn't know. He goes before us, and he will make a way if we put our faith and trust in him. Mm-hmm. He wants to know us, to forgive us, and to bring good from the things that are so hurtful and feel so confusing in our life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, again, well, praise God just for your being courageous and willing to really be used by the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for Claire. Thank you for her book. And thank you for the tool her book is to really open eyes and hearts to better see this issue from a standpoint of truth and love and grace. And Lord, more and more stir us all to seek your heart and to seek and find out what you're calling each of us to do to help to stand for life, to courageously stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion in our culture. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, you know, Claire, I think of this too, that there is such a need in the church to recognize that this is a much more serious issue than it seems that our culture and even the church seems to grasp. And, you know, certainly it's praise God for those persons that are called, that consider themselves pro-life, who will speak up for life and against abortion. And also, certainly, that's important. We all need to be continuing to pray for God to bless the work of the pro-life community to help end the tragedy of abortion. Voting for pro-life candidates is an important goal for believers in the church as well. But, you know, it's important that the church recognize we don't stop there. There's so much more that needs to be done. And I think of the fact that pregnancy clinics are on the front lines of this issue, yet tragically many pastors as well as believers don't even know what a pregnancy clinic is and couldn't point you to the nearest one. There's such a need for believers to research and find out more what we each can do and what churches can do. What are some thoughts and encouragement you'd like to give to pastors and churches in seeing the need to get more involved with this very important issue?
Gosh, I feel like you just spoke my life story, because as I mentioned before, I grew up in the church. My parents worked for Campus Crusade for Christ at the time, what is CRU now. And so I grew up in that ministry. I grew up in a evangelical church and mm-hmm. Was surrounded by solid believers, but I never once thought about abortion. I never once heard about abortion.
Hmm.
And then here I was, 21 years old, learning that I had been affected by abortion, but I didn't know who I could turn to. I didn't know where I could turn to. Could I run to my church? Because there had been silence. Could I run to my community of believer friends? Because there had been silence. I knew I could run to my family because mm-hmm. I knew that they believed in the love and the grace and forgiveness, and they were ready to catch me when I fell. But abortion wasn't something we had ever talked about. And so we were navigating our new reality pretty much alone. And I like to share that because I feel what I notice about the church is that so many of us are afraid to talk about this, afraid to even bring it up because maybe someone is hurting and we don't even know what to say. But our apathy, our silence amongst believers, amongst pastors, is actually enabling women and men and families and abortion survivors, even like me, to suffer silently in the pews of our churches instead of hearing about the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy of Christ, like you mentioned. And so I would encourage anyone who is listening today to, yes, not only, like you mentioned, Pastor, to add this to your prayer list, to pray for a country who values life, to pray for leaders who value life, to pray for pastors to value life and to be bold in their stance for life and to be vocal about the support that women have when they face unplanned pregnancies, because we know that God is good, He is merciful, that He created life in His image, and also to be bold in talking about the love and the grace and the forgiveness that is offered through Christ for those who have experienced an abortion in their past and have been so deeply hurt by abortion. But pray for those things. But also, I would encourage those of you who are listening to simply begin the conversation. Every single one of us can educate ourselves on abortion. If you have not done that and your eyes are being opened today for the first time to what abortion truly is and what it does to a woman like my birth mother and to a child like me and to a culture like ours, I would encourage you to educate yourself. There are incredible tools. Live Action is an organization I would recommend going to their website and educating yourself with what abortion is, what it does, and how it's affecting our culture. Mm-hmm. And then once you've done that, to go home and go back into your community and go into your church and go to your church leadership and go to your pastor and say, you know what, I've just educated myself on this, and my heart is breaking because I can see that this is something that truly matters to the heart of God. Abortion is not a political issue. It is a human issue. It is a heart issue. It is an issue that matters to the heart of God. And I know that there are people in our church who are suffering silently because we're not talking about this. And so today, let's begin the conversation. And we can do that in so many different areas of our lives with the people that we're around, and point them, as you mentioned, to places like pregnancy resource centers and get behind the ministries of organizations like that with our finances, with word of mouth, spreading the word, with volunteering, with serving on the board, whatever it takes, whatever God has gifted you with. There is a place for you in, I don't want to call it a fight, but in this fight against abortion, against the lies of the enemy, this fight for truth and for people to know the Jesus that we know.
All right. Our phone guest today is Claire Colwell. She's the author of the book Survivor, An Abortion Survivor's Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard a love song that set your soul? Have you ever watched a sunrise and felt you could not breathe? What if it's Him? What if it's God speaking?
Music of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Claire Colwell. She's the author of the book Survivor, an Abortion Survivor's Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption. Claire, would you share with the listeners once again, if they're wanting to get a copy of the book, how they can get the book?
You can get my book at anywhere books are sold. My website has a list of those bookstores. It is clairecolwell.com. That's ClaireCulwell.com.
All right. Okay, then. And, you know, Claire, you were sharing about just some of the other important areas of ministry believers can get involved with. I'm going to ask in just a moment if you'll pray for our ministry as well as for other pregnancy ministers out there. And as some of our listeners know, that I serve as the chairperson of the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center, and we're in the process of raising monies to purchase a mobile pregnancy clinic that will serve the southern part of the Mississippi Delta in an area where there are no pregnancy clinics at present at the moment. And one of the needs is, and you touched on it beautifully, for the church to recognize that it's our responsibility to help raise up ministries like pregnancy clinics and others, to which will share the gospel, will do pastoral ministry, but also will embrace and love women who find themselves pregnant at a tough time in their lives, come alongside them, as opposed to leaving them feeling like they're by themselves, without help, without support, feeling hopeless, to be quite honest. And so the need for these ministries is so great. The need for sidewalk counselors, people that will stand outside abortion clinics and pray and advocate, give out tracts of information that will help women make the right choices. And so many great ministries out there, but the need for more churches and more believers to get involved is just so great. Would you take time now specifically to pray for our ministry and others like it?
I'd be honored. God, I come before you thanking you for the hearts of people who have listened to your call to lead pro-life organizations like pregnancy resource centers and mobile ultrasound units, as Pastor Joseph has listened to your call about adoption agencies and pro-life advocacy groups and so many other organizations that are truly bearing fruit in your kingdom right now in our country. And God, I thank you for the life-saving work that happens inside of these organizations. And I pray that you will stir up a desire to and a conviction for believers to get behind ministries like these, specifically this new ultrasound, mobile ultrasound clinic. And God, just from personal experience, I know the importance of this work. I know the words that my birth mother shared with me so many years ago, that if there had been a place like a mobile ultrasound unit outside of the abortion clinic where my birth mother had her abortion, if there had been someone there telling her that abortion wasn't her only option, that she had support, that there was a place for her that, was better than walking through the doors of that abortion clinic, that she would have never had her abortion. And God, please use her words to convict those that are listening today to get behind, to support financially through using their gifts and their talents and their resources. Every single one of us has those things that are uniquely created by you, God, and given to us by you. I pray that you would convict the hearts of the people that are listening to be prayerful, to allow their eyes to be open to the truth and to act on the conviction that you're stirring up in their heart right now, to fight for life, to be bold in their stance for life and for truth, and to do something about it through getting behind the work of organizations in their communities that are preserving life, that are protecting life, and that are walking alongside women in their moment of crisis and confusion. Thank you so much for the life-saving work that is being done across the country. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for every believer listening today. And Lord, stir us as the church as a whole to more and more be wise enough to pray a prayer like the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed very quickly after he came to know you. And he asked the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, help us to ask that question every day with a heart and a mind that's wide open to what you would tell us as it relates to being faithful kingdom witnesses for Christ Jesus and being faithful believers who are open to being used by you to help get involved with standing for life and helping to come against and end the tragedy of abortion. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Claire, in the final portion of the broadcast, I want to ask if you'll share further about the need for believers to get more involved with both foster care and adoption as well. You know, the reality is there's so many children that long to be in a forever home or at least be in a loving, stable home, even if it's temporarily through foster care. But the reality is there are many believers who love the Lord but have never really considered that. And in fact, my guess is there are a lot of believers who would be afraid to pray, Lord, do you want me to consider adoption? That's a scary prayer for them. But the reality is we should be willing to do anything for Jesus because he was willing to do what needed to be done for us to receive eternal life. We should be willing to be wide open to whatever he may want us to do. So what would you share with our listeners about the reality of both the needs in the foster care world and the world of adoption?
Gosh, adoption is such a gift. As an adopted child, of course, I would say that, but I wish that people knew the love and the nurturing and just the incredible gift that I had growing up as an adopted child. I learned long ago that God's plans are bigger and better than anything I could have imagined for myself. So I did have my own plan. When I learned that I had survived an abortion, I had my own plan. I wanted to go to nursing school. But God called me to do something different when my prayer to him was, okay, God, what will you have me do? Open arms, laying everything on the table, what will you have me do? And he called me to do what was in my mind the scariest thing that I could ever imagine as an introvert, which is go about the most controversial issue of our time, abortion, and putting Jesus in that conversation too, which makes it the two most controversial words in the dictionary, probably, right? Mm-hmm. But God called me out of my comfort zone, and so I would encourage anyone that is listening today that maybe has not considered adoption, maybe you are considering adoption, whatever the case may be, that you lay it all out on the table. You say, God, I'm willing. What will you have for me? And I promise you, I hear this story over and over and over again. We see it over and over and over again. That God's plans, even though they're different than our own, his plans for our lives are always bigger and greater than we could have ever imagined or planned for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Adoption is something that is so needed. I would encourage every believer to pray for the church to rise up. This is something that could be solved. The amount of children that are in foster care, the amount of children that are waiting to be adopted, it is a simple solution of every single church rising up and those that can saying, I will. Not if you want to, but if you can, saying, I will adopt a child, I will foster a child, we wouldn't have the crisis that we have in our country, that we've had in our country for so long, with children desperately needing a home. And so we can solve this through believers who are willing, who believe in a God that is bigger and better than any plan that we could ever imagine, and a God that goes before and makes a way. That is the God that we believe in, and so we can trust that he can use every single one of us, church after church after church, that rises up to the occasion to give children homes, children like me, children like my sister, who was adopted as well. And it is such an incredible gift.
Mm-hmm. Okay, share with our listeners one more time, if they want to get a copy of the book Survivor, An Abortion Survivor, Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption. How can they get it?
Yes, thank you so much. My website has a list of all of the bookstores where you can buy Survivor. It is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian Bookstore, etc. You can find that list on my website, clairecolwell.com. That's CLAIRECULWELL.com.
All right. Father, we thank you once again for Claire. Thank you for the book, the powerful book she's written. Father, thank you for the church as a whole, and thank you for the needs that Claire has mentioned, that the church should prayerfully look at helping to be your vessels to address. Father, stir more and more believers in the church to prayerfully consider, to listen to your voice and your will concerning considering adoption and getting involved with the ministry of foster care and being a foster parent as well. Help us, Lord, to seek your heart, your will, and that which you're calling us to do, to demonstrate your love in this very important area of life. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And in these last few moments, if there's someone listening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, remember, Jesus really is the answer to all of our problems, all of our issues. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. Today is a great day to commit your heart to the Lord. Would you simply pray this prayer with me to make that all-important step? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me with an everlasting love. You loved me so much. You came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I do confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. I repent of it all. Forgive us, Lord, for all the wrongs we've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we invite you to please email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd very much like to be in touch with you, to share with you some resources to help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Claire, again, thank you so much for being with us today. One last time, would you share once again, if someone would like to get the book Survivor, tell them one more time how they can get your book, please.
My book is available at any place you can buy books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian Bookstore, etc. You can find that list on my website, clairecolwell.com. claire.com. That's claireculewell.com. And I just want to thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you so much, Pastor, for all you're doing for the kingdom and for life. It is so, so incredibly encouraging to have this conversation with you today.
Amen. It's been an honor to have you for the last today and the last broadcast as well. And keep up the great work. And we invite every listener, pray much for Claire Culewell. Pray for her book and pray for her ministry as well. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.